I mean, as a kid, watching Olympic Games on TV, I always saw rowing, and that was often shown because we were successful. I knew that even before I knew anything about rowing, that it was something we were good at. You know, Redgrave, Pinson, they're always on commercials doing this. Like, you know, they were the guys. And I'd always fancied it. I've always, you know, I've did a lot of kayaking. I've been a swimmer. I've done all sorts as a kid. Like, I've always liked water sports and being by water, a bit of sailing as well. Like, so I wouldn't say it was in the back of my mind, but it was something floating around there, maybe one day to be turned over. And I was going for these like tests with the Sail Sharks Academy and whatnot, and I was either winning or coming kind of top three in the bleep tests, you know, the aerobic tests, up and down.
And what position did you play?
I was playing second row. And the selectors would be like, oh, yeah, well done. And they'd go off and shake some other lad's hand and say, oh. And I'm like, I don't really understand, like, what is and not doing right. I said to my housemate, who rode at RGS Worcester. I was at Manchester University. And right. I said to him, look, I'm getting a bit disheartened with this rugby. Like, I train really hard for what I think. I'm not really getting anywhere. There must be something that rewards like the effort that I'm putting in. He said, you're a tall lad, like, you know, there's a scheme for tall people called World Class Start. I said, is there? I said, what's it like? He said, well, like, it's pretty full on. You get a full-time coach. And I went, that sounds perfect. Because if I was going to swap from a sport I've been playing for 10 years and was training 6 days a week for, I didn't want to kind of just go and splash around.
Right.
Like, it had to be a serious move for a serious result. And it wasn't kind of, oh, I'll try my hand out and see if I like it. It was, okay, I'm going to switch and I'm going to do this. I'm going to go to the Olympics. And that's probably the moment where that was, it became an Olympic dream then. Before it was, I just want to be good at our sport. I want to be a sportsman. That was always my ambition as a kid. I want to be paid to do sport. It didn't really matter what it was. But when somebody said rowing, yeah, I'll give that a go. And Hamish Burrell at Agecroft, you know, he's got a reputation for finding people as, you know, late teenagers, young adults for kind of, like Catherine Granger's one.
Right.
And he was like, yeah, you're all right. Take you on, see how you go. It's going to be hard, you know. And it was, I remember the first phone call I had of him, and he was saying, you know, it's a lot of people think they can do this and they can't. I went, no, I can do this. And what I realise now is that was my first interview for world class for him, for taking me on, because he already had some good athletes then. He had Liv Whitlam, Brendan Crean, Stuart Honour. They were all kind of on the fringe. Brendan was in the squad for a few years. You know, he had some good guys. He didn't really need some new guy changing the group dynamic he had when he already had some good people. But so that was kind of his, you think you can do it, do you? I went, yeah. So that I passed my first test, which was, could somebody talk me out of it? And they couldn't. And the first time I got in a boat, I was absolutely shocking. I nearly threw a tackle. Hamish had me in a play boat on the end of a safety line,
right.
So I couldn't float away too far, and I just didn't have an absolute Scooby-Doo. And Hamish couldn't get his head around it because he'd always been out of his dad fishing or something in a rowing boat, and I'd done kayaking, and I kept trying to do it like a kayak. I just couldn't. I realised that that's like a pivot point, but I just couldn't. It was absolutely alien to me.
Sort of doing that as well.
I could only really go forwards. Just this whole awful. And again, that was the first thing. I could have thrown the towel in there and then because I was home.
And when was that?
I'm going to go. That was, I think, June 2nd, 2009 was the first day I ever got in a boat. One of those yellow playboats.
Yeah.
And I was hopeless. But I was like, well, I said I'm going to do this now, stick with it. And in the end, Hamish kept me in one of those playboats for 2 months because he said, you don't have to worry about balance and it's good for your blade work.
Right.
And he'll probably kill me for saying that because that's his like little world-class start secret is get people's blade work good, and then once their blade work's good enough, then balance, you can easily learn.
Yeah.
And he kept saying, oh no, another couple of weeks. And there was a my a start camp in August, fast approaching, and I really didn't want to go to my first. He was like, well, I'm going to send you in a yellow paper. I was like, the shame, the embarrassment. You can't do that. He's like, I will. You've got to keep doing this. You've got to keep working on that. And I did. And 10 days before the camp, he goes, here's a, you know, one of those Janicek world-class start singles, 110 kilo crew limit. And I was there at like 92 kilos. Like, here you go, have that. And I fell in loads, as you do, because I was keen and I wanted to go fast straight away. That's definitely something that I want to do things. I want to do them right now. That's the psychologist say I've got like a hurry up personality. So.
Okay.
So yeah, there's a few mistakes. And anyway, I went to my first camp and one of the start coaches goes, oh, we don't know what order to set everyone off in. So can you tell us a little bit about like what you're doing? I said, so they were going around, I've been in about 3 months, I'm not very good, I'm probably not going to do anything. Oh, you get there. Like, just going around asking her, hey, Graham, what do you think you'll do? Yeah, I've been in about 11 days, I'm going to win, I think. And I remember it was Matt Gottrell and Lance Treadle who did the boat race at Cambridge and who's been in the team as well. And they both like kind of looking like, who the hell does this guy think he is? And I did win out the boys, but I think a girl beat me on percentage. Which is fair enough. I was like, I'll take that. Beat me on percentage. So that was like my first camp, and already I was making friends, obviously, with that kind of attitude.
So you've done the world champs. What do you think there'll be at the Olympics that you've not experienced yet? How different do you think that will be?
I think it'll be slightly different. I think looking back, the egg billet for the qualification, that was just mind-boggling pressure now when I actually look back on it, and especially the pressure we put on ourselves with the performances we were churning out, there's nothing like that, because that was, you know, the Olympics is the pinnacle. Like, if you're not going there, you're nowhere. It doesn't matter what you've done. Like, and so I think in a way there's almost, when we get on that plane to Rio, you'll be a little bit of, there'll be a fraction of relief that I actually, you know, I can call myself, I'm going to be able to call myself an Olympian. Like, that's a big box six. And then there will almost be a refocus point where it's, right, I'm here, now we've got to do the job. And that's definitely a conversation I'm going to sit down and have with the guys, is that, like, we're not just going there to wear the kit or go to the Olympics or whatever. Like, we are there to do a job, and Our regatta for the quad is very early on. I think our final's on the Wednesday.
Okay.
Where our regatta's going to go like by a flash. We know we're going to be over and done with before we know it. And so it's incredibly important that we turn up, and from the moment we hit the water, we are absolutely on it, and it is blinkers on, and they're to do a job. And yeah, I'm glad I've already kind of started combating that thought, that you could easily just be like, oh wow, this is amazing, and you know, start looking around and like just absorbing too much of the atmosphere. So yeah,
I suppose the attention is the other thing, isn't it? Like, you know, the number of media at something like this, the TV cameras when you get out of the airport, all that sort of stuff.
For me, I like that, and okay. I've had kind of cameras in launches before following me when I've been in my single before, and my coach is like, we should have a camera on you all the time. Like, you row so much better and I'm going really fast. Like, I don't mind that. I think that's part and parcel of it. And when people are talking about how can we make rowing more exciting, I'm like, interview me on the start line. Like, I don't care. Like, I'm only quiet because I'm worried it might upset somebody else. I just love racing. I don't know, like.
Well, do you think that'll affect crewmates differently?
I think everyone's different, and I think for me, having come into rowing so late, it's I've had a different experience to kind of mould my psyche to where it is now. I used to race go karts when I was a kid.
Okay.
So, and my dad's an Ironman TT and races motorbikes. So I've always, like, I'm used to the kind of camera in, you know, you sat on the camera on the in the helmet, like, what do you think of this? Or you get, what is your strategy and all this lot? Like, that's just, yeah, part of it for me. So
it's part of the hurry up mentality.
Yeah, yeah.